You've come to the beginning of another episode of the Kaleidoscope Podcast about everything Youth Initiative High School. Youth Initiative High School is a fiercely independent, multi-generational learning community offering an education that speaks to the whole human being. It was founded in 1996 and operates in Viroqua, Wisconsin, amongst the ridges and coulees of the Driftless region. I'm Matt, school administrator and amateur podcast host.
And I'm Logan, math teacher and novice podcast producer.
In this episode, we take a delicious journey down Main Street, Viroqua, with two of Viroqua's foremost restaurateurs, Ruthie Zahm and Eli Gay, because food is love and love is food. Hello, everyone out there in Youth Initiative High School Kaleidoscope Podcast land. This is the Youth Initiative High School Podcast, The Kaleidoscope, issue number 5. Correct? This is our 5th podcast, and you'll probably be able to tell we're a little rough around the edges. We haven't done one in a few months. I'm Matt Voss, school administrator, podcast host.
And I'm Logan, your faithful producer here in our new studio office with
Eli Gay
live and
Ruthie Zahm
over the phone, and it's gonna be great. I'm excited for this new flexible podcasting era that we have.
Yeah, so just a disclaimer and a sort of pre-apology, if you do hear any, I don't know, students screaming or semi-trucks rolling by. We are just in an old office that was never meant to be soundproofed. So
I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to have a new real feel to it.
Gritty?
We are all very excited.
Raw?
Yeah.
I prefer gritty.
Okay.
So this episode is really about two things. One, food in the Viroqua area, hot food in the Viroqua area. And two, the Youth Initiative High School matching gift circle. So we have two matching gift circle members, or at least representatives of them, Eli Gay. And Eli Gay, who are you representing today?
Maybe Lately's.
And what is Maybe Lately's?
Just a little diner in downtown Viroqua, Wisconsin.
The humility is just oozing out of your pores. It's not just a little diner. It is a little diner.
It is,
but it's not just a little diner.
That's how I say it is. It's just a little diner.
Okay.
I love it.
I don't know.
And Ruthie, who are you representing?
I am representing the Driftless Cafe, which is just a little cafe right across the street from sweet little Maybe Lately's.
In our sweet little town.
In just a little town in southwest Wisconsin. And Youth Initiative
Correct.
High School is just a little high school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Truth. Look at us all alike.
Okay, I'd like to learn a little bit more about you. Now, one thing I know about the two of you. Well, first, I guess I'd like to just clear the air. Is there a lot of, so your restaurants are very close by one another. They definitely serve primarily a very hip clientele. Is that true?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. We definitely serve what?
Like a very hip upscale clientele.
We like to say we serve anyone that is kind that's going to walk in the door. So I don't know if I would say it would have to be hip and upscale.
Do they have to pay for the food?
They 100% need to pay for the food, but we are not looking for any sort of clientele specifically. We're just looking for you to come in, enjoy what we've got going on, and be kind. Would you say that too, Eli?
Yeah.
So kindness matters at these two places.
For sure.
Kindness always matters.
Yeah.
Would you say there's like a healthy rivalry between the two restaurants? Or is it more like a cooperative, like a yin and a yang, or
I don't think there's a I don't think there's a rivalry by any means. I think we're different enough that, I don't know, there's space for everybody.
That's good, because I thought, I mean, I had nightmares of that this might be an uncomfortable episode.
At each other's throats?
Yeah, like there'd be all kinds of sort of like passive-aggressive, like...
Ruthie comes in all the time. It's maybe lately.
And eats?
Yeah.
She doesn't
that,
like...
Yes.
Was that what was referenced there, Ruthie, with the Sunday brunch?
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm going to be honest. It is and I know that I'm the problem. It is a little hard for me to hear Eli.
Yeah,
just as we're continuing this, but and so I'm not quite sure what he said about rivalry, but I would like to say that I feel no rivalry. In fact, we've known Eli before him and his partner moved to town and had eaten at his restaurant and visited him in his other life before, and we're extremely excited when they opened a breakfast place. Viroqua needs more restaurants. I implore people to try this adventure, and the fact that we can go to a breakfast place that we love and trust, not only breakfast, but also we've used them to cater our Monday night pizza events that we've had to do throughout the summer. I don't think rivalry is the right word. I like to think collaboration for sure.
Stop. Collaborate.
And listen.
Maybe Lately's is back with some pizza for your Monday.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Oh yeah, it's Monday tonight. We can order pizza tonight.
So you've been to Missouri, Ruthie?
I have. We have a couple of times.
Yeah.
And you just happened onto Eli's Missouri restaurant, which...
So, Eli, I don't remember how we all initially met. You might have to tell that story, but I will say that Eli's Missouri breakfast restaurant was one of the better breakfast places I had ever eaten at. The first time we met him, we were instantly hooked. But also, a little known fact, Eli and Luke are both Leos. In fact, if they don't share a birthday, they're one day apart. Eli, when's your birthday?
August 6th.
And Luke is August 8th. So they are astrologically sewn together.
We are.
Wow.
Twins.
In Viroqua terms.
Yes. By the moon of the Kickapoo.
So Ruthie, you're what they refer to as a townie. Yeah.
I am a townie. I think that's really, is that what people call local people?
I think so.
People?
I mean, you grew up here in Viroqua.
I like to say I'm the true local. That's how I refer to myself. I am a true local.
What does that mean?
Born, raised, left, and returned.
Oh, right. You left and then missed it. Whereas most people just leave and never look back.
I would not have returned if it weren't for the Lukester. Luke is also a Lafarge resident and has always wanted to return, so... marrying Luke made it possible for me to re-love this place again.
Local boy does well. Yeah, the first time I ever met Luke was, I don't know, it was probably 20 years ago or close to. I was working here and I was whatever, late 20s, and there was just some weird dude with a bandana in our kitchen here at school. Asking if he could use the kitchen to do some catering thing. This, of course, was before he had his own restaurant. And he said, yeah, you can email me at Wisco Chef. I thought, who is this joker? And he turned out to be a very successful chef. But boy, I thought, weird guy.
Luker, weird guy, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I thought this guy's probably not going anywhere.
I mean, what do you call yourself, Matt? You're not a true local. What are you?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's definitely true. I'm definitely one of these progressive imports. But I grew up in a town like this, so I feel like I understand the townie worldview. I grew up in a town, 5,000 people. there was a little college in it, so it had lots of like progressives, you know, coming into it all the time that were sort of seemed like outsiders to me growing up. And so, you know, I'm a bridge builder, Ruthie. So I take that part of my narrative and I build it so we can build a bridge here.
Between
people like Ruthie and people like Eli, who comes from like Arkansas or
Missouri mainly. I grew up in South Carolina, rural South Carolina, and then moved to St. Louis when I was like 11. And then went to middle school and high school in St. Louis and went to college in Columbia, Missouri.
What's the college there?
University of Missouri, Mizzou, M-I-Z.
Go Tigers?
Go Tigers.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think they won this weekend.
Yeah, they're 3-0 so far.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you have a Southern accent then?
I don't know.
I'm just a little suspicious. If you grew up in South Carolina, rural South Carolina.
Yeah. I don't know. It got baked out of me in St. Louis, I guess. St. Louis has they have like their own St. Louis accent, but I was a suburban boy.
And has it always been food for you? Like, this is your dream?
Not really. I kind of fell into food.
Figuratively.
I first studied saxophone. I went to school for music for a couple of years. And then I got burned out on that. And then I switched to forestry.
Forestry?
Yeah, I have a degree in forestry.
What?
From the University of Missouri.
That's awesome.
And then I had kids and needed to work.
And that ruined everything. And so all your dreams went up in smoke.
I got jobs in kitchens, just a dishwasher
and
stuff, and just started like moving up. You know, like, oh, we need somebody on grill. And I was like, I'll work grill. I don't want to wash dishes anymore. You know, so yeah. it fit the lifestyle that I needed it to at the time, to like just that type of work. Because like nights, and my partner at the time worked days. So it was like, it's just a good trade off. So we didn't have to have people watching the kids except for us, you know.
Right.
Just fell into that. And then I was like, hey, I like this a lot. So,
You did like it.
I grew to like it. It's fun. Express yourself. You can feed people, which is a good expression of the way that I show my love to people, I think. And I think Luke's similar in that way of just, I don't know, it feels good to make food for people and just put dish after dish in front of them and just see them be like, yay. And it just feels so good.
Mm-hmm. I feel so much love right now. I want to take a nap like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ruthie, if I recall, maybe this is a daydream I had, but I have a picture of you mentally in scrubs. Were you a nurse at one point?
I was. I am. I am a nurse.
You are a nurse.
Yep. I went to UW-Madison the same time Luke did. Luke and I graduated from UW-Madison. He had a poli-sci degree and I had a nursing degree.
Wow.
I know. Same. He quickly figured out that poli-sci was not where his heart was. He was already cooking, so he had kind of already started his transition. We lived in Madison for 13 years after we graduated, and I worked as a labor and delivery nurse at Meritor Hospital there.
Until we moved back
to Viroqua. And then I continued to work as a nurse in La Crosse while we own the restaurant, but we also have children, and it was a lot to have a restaurant and another job and the three children. So I stopped being a nurse. I did it for 3 years, about 10 years ago. I still nurse. I definitely have a different clientele in the back of the house. It's a lot of cuts that I'm fixing, healing, taking stitches out, that kind of stuff, but very different than the actual day-to-day nursing life that I used to live.
No one has ever delivered a baby at the Driftless Cafe, for instance.
We have not delivered a baby at the Driftless Cafe, but we have had a very pregnant staff member trying to induce labor numerous times during her shift,
wow,
which I may or may not have been helping with.
Drink some wine.
That's not a story for the interwebs.
No, It doesn't sound like it.
Was Luke DJing in Madison?
Luke, that is amazing. Luke was a member of the electronic group called Helix Turn Helix.
Yes.
While he lived in Madison for a while.
This is what I love about Luke. He's got such a he's very musical.
Ironically, Eli, he just found his old, I don't even know what this machine is called. It's like a Roland noise piano thing on yes. eBay, and is yes. now wanting to restart his electronic music career yes. with some yes. members of the community and our youngest son. So
yes.
I don't know how you knew that, Eli, but that is coming back around.
Deep cuts.
DJ yes. Zom.
Deep cuts from Eli.
Do you see this, though? This is how they're astrologically... He doesn't even know that about Luke, but he did know it.
Right. I've had good luck with Leos my whole life.
Have you? Well, I married one. Did you marry a Leo?
No.
Yeah, Bean doesn't seem like a Leo.
No. No, not at all. But, yeah, youngest daughter is a Leo, so hopeful there.
They are extremely entertaining people.
They are have a lot of energy. They're sort of like, yeah... They're like Aries without all the ego.
Never a dull moment.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of just sort of in the past, Spatula Jones, this is a thing. This is your name, Eli? Or
it's a name, yeah.
That's it. There's no story behind it.
Well, I don't know. I didn't want to be Eli Gay on the internet, so I just... I'm Spatula Jones, you know? I didn't want people to find me. So it's just my alias.
Okay.
Your mark.
Just like your
alias.
Youth Initiative High School on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm just Spatula like Jones.
I guess that's fair. And what about your relationship to the school now? How do you know about this school? You're both supporters of this school, which we thank you very, very much for being that. But why? Like, what's the point of that? Why? How are you related to the school? And does that actually lead you to want to support it? Maybe it leads you to not want to support it, and you're doing it anyway.
Well, my three kids went here. I have three kids, and they all went to Youth Initiative High School. And to be honest, Youth Initiative was a big reason we moved to the area. Our kids up to that point had been like just unschooled at home kids, dropping off the library for hours and hours, go do stuff. But they had expressed wanting to start going to school. And when we found the property up here, we started looking into the town and found this school. And it was kind of exciting for them. To think about them going to a school like this was exciting for us as a family. So, yeah, all three kids attended here. It's been a few years since the last one graduated. And I think they've all become fantastic human beings, and I think the school's really good at making fantastic human beings. And so I'm happy to be.
Well, you do need the raw materials. I mean, we're not starting from scratch, right?
No, sure.
We got... Those three kids are obviously good. You can see that. But the Eli Gay does hold those three children hold, I think, the record. They're the only time that we have had three children from the same family in the school at the same time.
Yeah.
So prolific set of Irish twins or Irish triplets there.
Yeah.
And it was definitely... It marked an era, certainly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there was pre-Duff Gay and post-Duff Gay. And then there was Duff Gay. Ruthie, what about you? Now, you have three kids as well?
I do. I have three kids as well.
And
two
you
of
don't,
them are
correct
graduated.
Me if I'm wrong, but you don't even allow them to step foot in the school.
I want no one to stand in youth. I'm just kidding.
So, but it is interesting. I mean, you know, we have a lot of education. I mean, my own children have gone to, I think, every school. I have five kids, and I think they've gone to school at every school in this community except Cornerstone Christian, which is why it went out of business.
Because your kids didn't go.
Yeah.
Totally.
If you can't even get one of the Voz kids, forget it. Pack it in.
Shut her down.
But I mean, you know, VAS, Better Futures, Montessori, like there's Pleasant Ridge. There's all kinds of different educational options.
So many for a little town.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Maybe just not the Forest School. Not to forget about them.
The Forest, that's true. The Forest School in Lafarge. I guess my youngest daughter could certainly go there. It's a long drive.
Yeah.
But worth it. I know a lot of people do it. So you there, Ruthie, what what would lead you to support a school like this without necessarily having students or being directly involved in its day-to-day sort of
right.
business?
Great question, Matt Voz.
Thanks. Logan comes up with all the questions.
That makes sense. He's kind. We did send our children to more than one school. Also, we had a Pleasant Ridge experience. We had Montessori experiences, and then we ended up at the public school. You know, who knows what will happen with that third one? He's not in high school yet, so you never know.
That's true. Well, doors are open for that little wild guy. He's not so little anymore, though, probably.
No, seventh grade. But the reality is when Youth Initiative started, Jacob and I, the original, would you call him the original OG founder?
Yeah, he's a founding student for sure.
Jacob and I are the same age, and I knew him as a past resident and high school graduate of the Viroqua High School. I knew a lot of folks that went to Youth Initiative. Luke was at the time very good friends with also many students that were coming up. So although we personally did not attend, nor our children, I'm very familiar with the community. And then getting to know Jacob, one of my best friends married Jacob's sister, Julia Hunt.
Okay.
And as someone who married my best friend, she immediately became my best friend. So Julia and I, and then Dawn and Vince, the Hunts are important people in our lives. And so they have supported the Driftless Cafe. They were some of the main reasons why the Driftless Cafe is able to be open today. And in community, one of the best parts about Viroqua is community supports community. So whenever Jacob has needed something, or Dawn, as one of the founding mothers of Pleasant Ridge and Youth Initiative, this was an important adventure for them. So it becomes an important adventure for us. So supporting the Hunts in general has always been an easy thing for me to do. But then, even more importantly, using Youth Initiative high school students as staff members is, I think, actually currently.
Yeah, how many? You got several.
Starting next week. Yeah, starting next week, we're taking another one. But being able to know that no matter where you go to school, students need places to work that can prepare them for jobs that they will have in the future. And we have used many Youth Initiative high school students throughout the years. So it's always been a pleasure being able to support the kiddos.
That's true for you too, isn't it, Eli? You have a lot of Youth Initiative High School adjacent employees.
Yeah. Handful, yeah.
They doing okay over there? Or?
Yeah, doing great.
Okay, good.
Whew. It's nice watching them like evolve, you know, and get experience of work and getting good at it, and then a lot of, you know, they decide to move to a new city or something, and it's exciting to watch them grow beyond their high school experience even, you know, and then just become the adults they're becoming.
And we were thinking about this, Logan and I, previous to this conversation, like if the school is an analogy to a restaurant, like are the students, are they more like the restaurant staff, or are they more like the restaurant clientele?
They are the restaurant cooks that need a lot of education. They're like interns.
They're the greenhorns, the interns, the stages, perhaps.
They're the right. Every day is a stage for your students.
What is that? Excuse.
That's like the French term for an intern. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Free labor.
Free labor.
You are right.
Yeah, an intern.
They are
right.
Yes, yes, but they actually do demand more pay. So we're not doing it for free. But yes, stage is definitely free labor.
They're paid at Maybe Lately's as well. No one's working for free.
So a person could apply to be a stage at one of your restaurants?
It's a restaurant
you
thing.
You don't apply.
I mean, I worked in restaurants for a long time. And unlike Eli, every consecutive day, it was worse for me. Mm. My arrow was pointing in a different direction as yours. I never heard stage.
It's not really. I mean, it's a thing in, like, fancier restaurants.
What are you saying?
Maybe Lely's doesn't have stages.
Okay.
We do stages a lot.
Because I heard Matt never worked in a fancy restaurant.
That's
what you heard.
I mean, I'm kind of a defensive person. I have a low self-esteem, so I'm always kind of looking for insults coming my way. That sounded like...
So if students are like...
Have you?
But if, Ruthie, what? If students are like stages, then I mean, aren't they training fancy. To become future faculty?
100%.
Ah, I love that idea.
So we
I don't know how true it is for most of our students.
Stages for Matt. And, you know, I think it can be, I think we use stages differently than what cities. I mean, Luke has definitely staged in cities at very fancy restaurants. You know, that's what Eli's thinking of too, I'm sure. Stages for us at this point are more of a working interview. So when someone comes to Viroqua and they either are from here or they're not from here, maybe they've cooked before, maybe they haven't. We get so many people that have no experience in cooking. So to hire somebody into a restaurant like the Driftless Cafe with no experience, you want to at least see where you have to start. So a stage is basically a working interview so they can see what they're getting themselves into, but also we can see if it's going to be how much time we need to get this person up to speed. That's the way that we use a stage. Kids are the same way.
Yeah, that's a good parallel because we get a lot of people that have no experience in anything.
Right.
Not just kitchens, like no experience in putting a stamp on an envelope or something like this.
Right. Well, and you'd be surprised at the people that apply in small towns also. And that's fine. We actually prefer to hire people that don't have experience at this point because sometimes when you get really experienced cooks,
right.
They only know how to cook one way.
Right.
And so, you know, trying to retrain someone who's been on the line for 20 years to the style of cooking that we do is extremely hard. But teaching someone from the ground up to the style that we're doing makes it sometimes even more enjoyable. But it's always good to know what you're getting into.
Stage. Well, I've heard of sous chef. That's different though, huh?
Yeah.
Sous chef is a position that's already there and you're working it. Someone has it. That's like saying she's the whatever Logan's job title is.
I'm the sous.
Logan
to Matt.
Logan is your sous chef to
no,
Matt.
I don't know.
Matt is CDC.
He plates. Okay.
Matt is your executive chef.
Executive, okay. Who's CDC then?
What is that?
Chef de cuisine.
Who's your vice principal?
What is all this?
You gotta watch French. The Bear, man, or
the,
something.
The Bear?
I hate The Bear. I she hate that show. Bear. I've
I
never
wondered
watched
if you'd
it.
Hate that.
You've never watched understand. It and you hate it?
I didn't say I hated it. I don't never watched it. I've never heard of it.
I'm talking to Ruthie.
Anything
I can't
that
Eli.
Anyone has said.
Ruthie says, I
has
hate
Eli
that show,
the
but
bear?
Then she said, I've never watched it.
That's how I am about Game of Thrones.
Have you watched
it?
Oh,
no,
oh I love
show.
The Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's a
Game
good show.
Game of Thrones
show.
Is good.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Ruthie.
I've never watched it.
I didn't even want to like it, and I couldn't help myself.
Me either. Me either, Matt.
We're getting off topic here.
Yeah. I
okay,
like,
sorry.
I was like, I'm not going to
I just want to know you haven't watched it.
Is this a clarification here? Eli would like clarification. You haven't watched it, and you hate
on
it.
On which part?
You haven't watched
the
Bear,
Bear,
but you hate it.
Did you watch it, Eli?
I've watched it.
The whole thing?
I have watched the whole thing now.
So I started to watch the first episode
okay,
and it gave me so
it.
Much anxiety.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, why would I work? I mean, like, I just left
yeah.
this show.
Yeah, they
so
did a good job.
Going home, and,
the anxiety
going home and watching it was not what I wanted to do.
Absolutely.
So it's
agree
too
with you
accurate,
there.
You're telling me.
It definitely induced feelings of terror and anxiety.
It did that in me,
what
and
is
I've
this?
Never even really worked in a kitchen.
What
so.
Is this thing?
It's a show.
Is it a fictional show? A documentary
it's a fictional
show.
Show.
A fictional show that is set in a high pressure kitchen.
No, it's just set in a very dysfunctional.
It's not high pressure.
Kitchen.
It's a normal kitchen. I would say normal.
I would say very dysfunctionally normal, though. It's
yes,
not, it's not okay. Which I've worked in a lot of kitchens like that
where
are
people are screaming.
Yes, they're screaming.
Asymmetrical relationships are being exploited.
Yes.
People are crying. Does anyone cry at your restaurant? I mean, Ruthie, I would imagine yes for you, but...
Why would you say that?
Well, I just... It feels like a place where it would be safe to, you know, express your emotions.
Good comeback. It depends on the staff member. I've had staff members who cried every single day and there was nothing that I could do about it. And sometimes you're just like, listen, this is not the space for you. Like, you're crying over shit that nobody needs to cry over. But, you know, then the reality of restaurants, and I don't know if the bear goes into this, but I have a feeling, is that we employ people that are living sometimes lives that are more stressful. You don't make a ton of money in restaurants. Nobody.
Right.
You know, we're all just trying to do the best we can. So, you know, their lives are stressful. My life is stressful. Eli's life is incredibly stressful. But we take on that stress as something we talk about because all of these situations are real. And if someone's having a bad day, you're not going to be able to drop it. We do say restaurant family. We're going to listen to you. And so, yeah, sometimes we cry.
I've cried at work before. Yeah. Sometimes you just don't want to be there, but it's work and you got to do it.
Yeah.
Eli's life doesn't seem stressful to me. I'm just saying, like, he seems so relaxed. Every time I see him,
I'm guessing there are days.
Is that the southern part of you or so? You just seem so relaxed.
When I first started work, I first opened my restaurant in Missouri.
All right.
I was super stressed out, working 80, 90 hours a week or more. With my kids around at the restaurant with me, and they were like 3 and 4 years old at the time.
This,
you know,
sounds
what I mean?
So terrible,
like,
so far.
Yes, yeah. Terrible. And I would throw fits. I would get mad. I would throw things sometimes. You know? And then I realized that wish was on me, that I'm affecting all these people around me with my behavior.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that it did not serve me or anyone. Because as soon as I did it, I would feel terrible. And then I would have to apologize to someone. And I'm like, who am I inflicting this, my rage on other people? So I've learned just not to do that anymore.
That sounds like...
And just like...
A lot.
It's just a day. And we'll get through it.
So you've transcended stress.
I mean, I definitely feel stressed. But I'm also like, I guess there's been a stack of successes behind it that have, you know...
Right.
Proven to me beyond a doubt that I'm going to make it through with the help of everybody around me. So if anything, they deserve my respect and my love. I try to give the people my best self.
Yeah. So that's another parallel between you guys' restaurants and Youth Initiative then. Because people cry here a lot too.
It's not always the students.
No. No, there's crying. We actually have a bathroom stall that is reserved for crying.
I think, you know, high school,
yeah,
it's such a strange time of age groups. Like, the stratification of different age people together does not happen anywhere else anywhere like it does in high school, I feel.
Yeah, that's...
There's a huge difference between like a 13-year-old and a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot happens in that time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, numerically, together. Of course, not. If you put a 46 and a 42-year-old together, that's pretty much the same age. But
right.
Yeah, 17 and 13, that's wildly different.
I'm just saying a lot happens between 13 and 17.
It does.
In our development, our human development.
It's intense.
Yeah.
And it's so an intense 4 years.
I don't feel like that happens in other institutionalized...
Yeah.
It's interesting. I would say in all of this, because we've touched on quite a few topics, this feels like my ADHD brain on fire right now. I love it.
Yeah.
But one of the things about high school and why I'm sure Eli and I can agree on why we use and why we support high school students, but one thing that I can surely say is that neither of us wanted to run a business the way that some restaurants run. There's an oligarchy there. There is a lot of machismo in some bigger restaurants. There's a lot of yes, chef. There's a lot of, you know, rules that people play by that in a small community, when you're using high school students, number one, it doesn't make sense. And so if it doesn't make sense for high school students, why should it make sense for adults also? It's kind of my whole deal. So when you put high school students in adult jobs like restaurants, you all need to behave correctly. And sometimes the high school students are what remind us to show up as good people. And I will say that in a small town where you need every employee you can get, that's been a really nice change to watch, especially having chefs that have not worked in kitchens like this before. Teaching older chefs how to interact with high school students in a way that feels good for everyone. You know, not every restaurant would do that. Not every restaurant would hire high school kids. So, you know, that's a positive, I would say, for both of our restaurants.
Yeah. And that's true here at school too. I mean, all the students are raising the level of adult, not just, I guess, behavior, but aspiration and thoughts. Like, they're reminding you to be, like you said, Eli, you know wanting to be your best self. Like that, yep. That's their gift, certainly to the adults. And it's a pleasure, a privilege to get to work with people like that, people in that stage of their lives, who are also extremely good at you know, detecting all kinds of things that people do in the quote unquote real world. The BS,
right.
The BS meter, or the BS radar is extremely well attuned in that age of development. They know when you're sincere and authentic.
Totally.
And if you're not, they don't respond.
I think on the other end of that too, though, as going back to it, quote unquote, true local, there were not these types of jobs for me when I was in high school. I mean, there were still other places you could work, but being able to provide a restaurant experience like Eli and I can do so that these students can leave Viroqua and feel like they've, you know, seen a different part of work. They've seen a different style of just humans in general. That was never something that I was able to take from Viroqua. And I feel really great that we are able to give kids this opportunity, because the real world is like a restaurant. So in general, giving kids that opportunity is huge.
How is the real world like a restaurant?
There are so many different people that show up at a restaurant to work and to eat. And you can lose yourself in the same mindset of Viroqua if you stay with the same group of people. That's not going to happen at a job where many people come into a restaurant for many different reasons. And so being able to diversify and show that even in just a job in a very small white community is a huge leap from when I graduated.
What was your high school job?
I worked at the local Dairy Queen. I was a babysitter.
Yes.
For some families, and at the end of my time, the Viroqua swimming pool was still hopping, and so I was a lifeguard.
So you can swim. And what about you, Eli?
My first job was at Steak and Shake.
God.
Yes, I love Steak and Shake.
I made shakes, and at that time we were also making like weird pasta dishes. It was like pasta with like beef chili on pasta and stuff like that. So like, I made the shakes and the pasta.
Is that a Cincinnati chili? Don't they have the pasta in the chili in Cincinnati?
I think so. I've heard of that, yeah. But so Steak and Shake, and then I worked at Taco Bell for a year or two. And then I went to college. And I was a residence hall.
Were you an RA?
No. I checked people in to the residency. Like, I'd have to like.
You were there on move in day.
No.
At the front desk.
You were the
bouncer.
Desk. Yes, the bouncer. I had to make sure people had the right IDs and stuff to come in.
Wow.
I did that. And then I worked at a soils lab, testing soils from all over the country.
Mm.
And that was so boring. Mm. It was like a lot of lab work and like giant machines like shaking and. It's like looking at stuff through slides. It was just...
That sounds exciting, though.
For some people, I'm sure it is, but I was like, this is not for me.
We have a teacher here who's a soil scientist.
Nice.
And loves to look at things on slides. Ruthie, are you probably... You're at work right now.
All day, every day.
Wow. Okay. So I just want to know what your favorite thing on your menu is, and then what your favorite thing on Eli's menu is.
Okay, well, Eli's is way easier for me because I love eating his food, and I eat it more than I eat my own food. I have two. Three, I have to say three. First of all, they just added matcha to their drink menu, which I can walk across the street. It's my favorite. I get a matcha latte iced with a tiny bit of maple syrup, and Eli's wife, Allison, is the best matcha latte maker. So that's currently my new favorite. Otherwise, you can't go wrong with that darn burrito. I love it. Just, you know, breakfast burrito in the morning for me is so good.
Bacon or sausage?
Obviously sausage.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my jam, too.
And then, I mean,
is it
because
you
fail,
get more sausage?
The Mr. Sandwich with clearly sausage. Like, the Mr. Sandwich is to die for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good.
But I will also say that secretly, I know he makes a really good potato latke. I ate that in Missouri, and I dream about that, Eli.
Latkes.
That's a hint. That's a hint, Eli. Just a little hint.
What about off your menu, Ruthie?
Bring the latke up north.
I'm so distracted by Eli's menu. I don't even... I'm just kidding. You know, our menu changes every day except for that tenderloin. So you would think that the tenderloin would be my favorite, but it's not. It's hard to pick one true favorite thing because it does change all the time. So if I had to say right now, we are in full-blown tomato, like almost end of the season. I love tomatoes. We, on Friday night, made a tomato tartare. So just like you would do with meat, it looked exactly like a real tartare, but it was made with tomatoes. It was fantastic.
How'd you get them so thin?
Right? Skill and love. I have no idea. I didn't watch him do it, but it looked, I mean, they had definitely cut teeny tiny little tomato pieces. It was spot on.
Yeah.
Cool. That would be my favorite right now.
I love tomato season.
Me too.
Well. It's, I think if I lived someplace that didn't have seasons, you know, I would miss tomatoes. Like,
but you could maybe, what if maybe if you lived there, they had tomatoes all year.
I know, but I wouldn't appreciate it like I do.
Right.
Because I don't really eat tomatoes any other time of the year because they're just bad. So I wait.
Like a winter tomato.
Right.
Like at Subway.
Yeah.
It's translucent.
Yes.
And coral colored.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Do you like anything over there at the Driftless Cafe?
I like to go there for lunch when I have the time to do that. I like the burger, and
I love burgers.
Yeah,
like
we
the
make
fries.
A good
and if Luke is working, he'll give me like 3 pounds of French fries or something, something ridiculous. And so, but when I get there for dinner, I love the small plates, and like Ruthie said, it's different every night. So I like to just pick and choose from like the seasonal salad they'll have, and a couple of the small plates, and. Usually we'll split the tenderloin or something.
Mm.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like at Maybe Lately's?
Probably my favorite thing beyond the burrito, breakfast burritos. It's a hit. And I really like the French toast myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably
mm-hmm.
eat a piece of that.
What's the bread base there? You got
Texas
we make
toast? It. It's a white bread that we make. And
you make the bread?
Yeah, we make all the bread that we use.
And the biscuits.
And the biscuits.
You make the biscuits.
Yeah.
JB, right?
JB.
Baker extraordinaire.
She is.
Okay. Well, that's a good place to end because it's going to leave people hungry. Go out and...
What's your favorite thing at Maybe Lately's, Matt?
Well, I've eaten there, what, 3 times? So just to let you... give a little sense. I have eaten out at a restaurant maybe 10 times in the last 10 years.
Okay.
I don't have normal or possibly healthy relationships to eating or to socializing. So I've had those sandwiches though. The Mr. Sandwich.
That's what you got when you went there with me on
yeah.
my birthday. You
yeah.
got two Mr. Sandwiches.
Two of them. And that's the other thing that makes it tough for me to eat at a restaurant. Like, for me to leave a restaurant full, I usually have to spend $50 to $60. Because I like to eat in massive quantities. The right. Mr. Sandwich I love. And I'm also, I'm not, I have very unrefined food tastes. So that my favorite thing, certainly at the Driftless Cafe, is cheeseburger. Like, yeah. Just cheese.
I don't think that has to be unrefined. I think, actually and truly, you'll like this, Matt. If you talk to a real good chef, the question people ask good chefs is, where's your favorite burger? Because if you've got a good burger on your menu, then they trust you.
Okay.
It's true.
So that's good. I'll just take that as you saying I'm a really good chef.
It means you've got refined taste. Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Thank God. Yeah. So that's, I mean, I like simple. I actually, most of the time, don't even cook my own food. I just eat raw food. I just like a horse or something.
You eat a raw horse?
I would.
He eats a lot of vegetables and fruit.
Yeah. I eat a lot of fruit and vegetables, but if raw horse that I could trust the source that it came from, I'd eat it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Logan? Logan, what's your favorite thing at the cafe and maybe lately?
At the cafe, I mean, the lunch menu, I just ate there not too long ago, right? And got that chicken sandwich. Can't go wrong.
Delicious. Mm-hmm,
but also mm-hmm. the fish fry. I like fried stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And too. Them truffle fries.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's definitely the sausage burrito for me. But I will say, I always get it out of the to-go warmer, and I kind of like it.
I know.
More.
They're better like 4 hours later.
Yeah. It's a little rested. It's not that it's soggy, but it's like a little soft.
Rested. I like that personification.
And the flavors have melded.
Yeah.
They've married.
Yeah.
If I go in, then I always just get the special if it's a weekend.
If otherwise, I make if the burrito, I like to let it sit out till it's like room temp, and then it's good to go.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I usually do. I get it. I come back here. I leave it on my desk for a little bit, and then I eat it in between class.
I love it.
Thank you both.
Yeah, so there you have it. Eat at Maybe Lately's. Eat at the Driftless Cafe. Join the Youth Initiative High School's Matching Gift Circle. And if you see these two wonderful humans, Eli Gay, Ruthie Zahm, say hi to them. Thanks, guys.
You actually don't have to say hi to Ruthie.
Actually, just leave Ruthie alone. just she's trying to concentrate. But Eli, approach him. He's gentle.
He's lovable.
He's like the Barry White of biscuits.
Sing along to the music. Right? Jam out.
Yeah.
Can you play Baker Street on the saxophone?
Probably, yeah. Is that your theme music?
Yeah, basically.
I'm trying to think of how it goes right now.
What? It's like...
Oh, yeah.
You know that?